Yeah, I don't know if the title was given out to you. I got a little nervous when Rabbi Yasker was introducing me, because on the one hand he started talking about this subject, and on the other hand I thought he was confusing me for my father, because my father moved to a community. Actually, Rabbi Binyamin Kamenetsky, I'm sure many of you knew him, just passed away a few weeks ago, and he actually went to a midbar. So when you started talking about a midbar, I mean, I don't know, Boynton Beach is not exactly a, you know, I mean, it's, it is what it is, but it's not a midbar. But once upon a time, the five...
It was.
Once upon a time, the five towns really was a midbar, Jewish-wise. Now, I was just there this week. There's a shul on every street corner, but you aren't introducing my father, so thank God. Okay. What I wanted to do with you today is explore a topic which I think many or all of us are familiar with, and that is the... as Rabbi Yasker just mentioned, the death of Miriam, which is followed by what's often identified as the great sin of Moshe, the one which seems to cause him to not enter the land of Israel. This is not going to be a class on analyzing that particular episode, although we're going to be touching upon it. But I want to look at at the pictures in a macro sense. I call this class a modern lens on the connection between the death of Miriam and the sin of Moshe. So what does that mean, a modern lens? So you look at the piece of paper in front of you, well, that's pretty modern. You don't have green and blue and purple highlights in a Torah or in a Chumash. So the fact that I can make this on a computer, so that's one dose of modernity. But also it's a different way of studying. Because too often when we open up a Chumash, we read Pasuk, and then we look at the commentary, and then we read another Pasuk, and then we look at the commentary, and we tend not to look at the bigger picture. So on the one hand, it's a drawing back when you have everything all on one page in front of you. And on the other hand, in terms of modernity, we're going to study... I'm not a psychologist, so I'm not going to pretend to be, but so you're not going to hear any real terminology, but we can nonetheless study the human condition and look at it from a perspective of what's going on in the hearts and minds of the people, what's triggering them to behave in the way in which they do, what mistakes do they make, and through the course of the way the Torah develops this, and it's all in one chapter, in chapter 20, Bamidbar Perek Chaf. How do they redeem themselves from the errors which they commit? Okay, so this is what we're going to do, and for the benefit, I'm going to be using the side that has all the colors. That's the Hebrew, but for your benefit, on the back, I put the English for those who want to be able to follow in that way. But I didn't highlight it in the English. It's all in the Hebrew, because this is another thing which you lose when you use a translation. You lose the subtleties and the nuances that are in the text, because a translation, by definition, is a commentary. And you don't see the little hints that the Torah sends our way. Just to give you one example, if you look in Psukim, Beis, Gimel, and Dalet, I'm not looking at the English translation, but you see those words that are highlighted in red, Eda, Am, and Kehal Hashem. So I'm not such a great linguist. If I were to translate each of those words, I'd probably just call them the congregation. Right? They all mean the same thing. Once I do that, in the English, what have I done? I've lost that distinction that the Torah makes. So that's why it's important to study from the Hebrew in order to be able to see these important things. Okay, so let's begin. We're going to start in the first section, and just... by way of final introduction, you'll see how it's broken up into four boxes. Box one is the death of Miriam and the complaints for water, as Rabbi Yasker alluded to. Number two is the sin of Moshe, or I'll just call it the episode of what's called Mei Meriva, the waters of strife, when the rock is hit by the staff. Number three is after that, when it's time to continue trekking towards the land. So the people, Moshe sends messengers to Edom. Edom, these are the cousins of the Jewish people. right? Edom is our descendants of Esav. He sends messengers to them saying, can we go through your land, the straight path? And once we can go through your land, we don't want to take anything. We just want to get there. And once we're on the other side, we'll continue into the land. And they're rejected. They can't go through. And the fourth section is the death of Aaron and Eleazar, his son, taking over for him. Okay, so that's the chapter in four different sections. So let's begin looking at the very beginning. In Pasuk Aleph, we have the part which is highlighted in yellow. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'edami bartzin, that all of the Israelites came, the entire Eda, okay, that's a word which we're going to see over and over again, midbar tzin, they came to the midbar of, to the wilderness of tzin. There's a hope, there's optimism that they're going on the next step of their journey. When do they get there? B'chodesh harishon, in the first month, vayeshev am b'kadesh, they're going to be in this place called Kadesh. V'tamas shamirim v'tikaver shamirim, dies and she's buried there. Okay, now what's wrong with that picture? She dies. Okay, I mean, that's sad, but there's nothing wrong with that. Vatikaver Shem, and she's buried. And then the next thing is, V'loi Mayim Le'edah V'ikalu Moshe Al Aaron. There's no water, and everybody comes gathering against Moshe and Aaron. Hold on a second. We know from what happens later with Aaron, what happens later with Moshe, these are the three big leaders of the Jewish people. Right, what happens when Aaron dies? Everybody cries for 30 days. What happens when Moshe dies? They cry for 30 days. Where's the egalitarianism? But Miriam doesn't get mourning. What? Did I push the wrong button? Okay. Okay. So how could they ignore the death of Miriam? This is so significant. And instead, what do? They take. They look at their reality, no water, and they take that as an impetus to be able to complain about something. Okay? So not only are they not crying over it, but what about Moshe and Aaron? Now, do you think for one second that Moshe and Aaron aren't sitting Shiva? Now, don't tell me it's almost Pesach and Pesach cut it short. Okay, it says it's the first month, but let's not assume that. Okay, it's the beginning of the month. B'chodesh harishon. So Moshe and Aaron, they're sitting down, they're trying to sit Shiva. Okay, and what happens? The people come, and they gather against them to say, What's going on? Where's the water? Hold on a second. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm Aaron HaKohen. I'm sitting down. I'm mourning for my sister, who is a great leader for all of you as well. You realize that in her merit we had the water. Can you at least say, Hamokim Yenachem Eschem? Something. No. Where's the water? Okay, so you see that there's a very misplaced priority here for the people. When as soon as Miriam dies, instead of mourning, they start to complain. Well, I mean, it's not even so clear that they're complaining yet. Vayikalu al Moshe ve'al Aharon. Okay, so again, remember how I pointed out that the word is Eda. What's the next word? Vayarev ha'am im Moshe. Now, am really, we translate to be nation. What's the difference between an Eda and an am? It's a good question, right? Eda, okay, but what does a flock mean? Which one's more unified? An Eda is more unified. That is correct. What's our classic example? The Meraglim are called an Eda. The Meraglim, the spies, are called an Eda. Now, we may say that they're a bad Eda, but they're unified, right? 10 guys. As a matter of fact, the fact that we have a minion is made of 10, that comes from the Meraglim. Okay, I'm going to get to that. That's my lesson at the end. We'll get back to that. Okay, but an Eda is unified. What's an Am? An Am, in many instances, the Am, when you have the word Am to describe these people, it's referring to different groups. Very often, the one which is identified as the tell-all troublesome crowd. Who's the tell-all troublesome crowd amongst the Jewish people? The Erev Rav, right? They're often referred to as the Am. You look at the whole story of the golden calf, and you see the Am. And the Am, some of the commentaries, especially the Kli Yakar, says that's the Erev Rav. Okay, so these are the bad guys. Who are the bad guys? Vayarev ha'am im Moshe. So the idea of v'lo yamayim la'eda, vayikalu ha'moshe ve'al Aaron, that the Eda, the unified people, everybody, they gather to Moshe and Aaron. Why are they gathering to Moshe and Aaron? Well, we don't know. We don't know why they're gathering. But the Eda is not the one who picks a fight with Moshe and Aaron. Who picks the fight? Ha'am. Okay, in the Am, maybe it's the Erev Rav, whatever it is, it's the bad guys. They said, if only we had died the way that our brothers died, Lifnei Hashem, before God. Okay, and I should have highlighted that a little as well, the Lifnei Hashem, but I didn't. Okay, but imagine that Lifnei Hashem is highlighted. And why did you bring this Kahal Hashem, this community of God? Okay, now let's just take a step back again. Who depicts the Eda as an Eda? Anybody? It's not a trick question. It's the Torah's narrative. So who's doing that? Oh, it's God. Right? God says this is an Eda. Who depicts them as an Am? Vayarev Ha'am in Moshe. Same. It's the Torah's narrative. Who depicts them as a Kahal Hashem? That's a quote. Okay? When they're talking about themselves, they say, Okay, we're the community of God here. Lamus Sham Anachli B'Reini. Why'd you bring us? We're the holy people. Why'd you bring us here? So that we should die along with our animals. Then look at the pasuk, which is in blue and in pink. Ulama Eli Sunum in Mitzrayim, why'd you bring us up from Egypt? Lavio Sanu ala makom harahaze. Why did you bring us up from Egypt to bring us to this place? Lomakom zero teinav gefen v'rimon ma'ayin l'shtos. So they mention the water, as Riazgo mentioned before. They say this wilderness has got nothing in it. No, none of the kinds of food which we were used to having in Egypt. And makom zera teina gefen rimon, it doesn't have any of that stuff, and there's no water. Okay, so this is the complaint. In other words, what was the experience in Egypt? Amazing. Amazing. You took us out of Egypt, and now it's terrible, which means that in Egypt it was great. Okay, I mean, is this normal? I don't know. I don't think. Good Jewish people, okay. All right. So by Avo Moshe Aaron upnei Kahal, so Moshe Aaron says, "All right, okay, you guys think you're a Kahal, no problem. Okay, we'll come to you, but it doesn't say El Kahal Hashem. Anyway, El Pesach Ol Moed Vayiplu upnei. So they come, they fall on their faces Vayirach Vod Hashem Alehem, and the honor of God, the glory of God appears. Now, let's just ask one simple question. This response seems a little pathetic on the one hand, right? Moshe and Aaron, there's a complaint, and what do? You fall on your face. What are you doing? Why are they falling on their face? Are they fainting? Are they davening? Are they just so frustrated they don't even know what to do with these guys? It's not clear. However, what is clear is Vayirach Kavod Hashem Aleihem, that the glory of God appears. Now, we all know the next story, right? Moshe with the rock. If I were to ask you now, at this point in time, has there been a Kiddush Hashem or a Chil Hashem, or neither? Has God been sanctified, desecrated, or none of the above? What would you say? Raise your hand. All think that there may be a Kiddush Hashem here. Raise your hand. Not a one. Okay. All who think there's a Chil Hashem here, desecration of God's name, raise your hand. Okay, a few. All who think none of the above, raise your hand. All who didn't vote, raise your hand. Okay. You voted, okay. Okay. I'm trying to make this a little interactive, folks. For the benefit of those who are listening on the recording, the people were not cooperative here. Okay. All right. So, look, the bottom line is, nobody thought that there was a Kiddush Hashem here. But I'm going to argue with you and say, Vayirach Kavod Hashem, the fact that the glory of God appears here tends to suggest that God's presence is there. So, the other viewpoints are equally valid, okay? Because you can say that there is a desecration of God's name, because here's a leader who's being asked to help, and he falls on his face, and nobody knows what's going on. But if he's davening, maybe the people see that, and the glory of God appears, okay, it might be good. Okay. Sorry? All right, we're going to get there. We're going to see, okay? So we've set the stage. So there are a number of things going wrong here, in the sense that the people are complaining they've neglected Miriam, the entire respect and honor to Miriam on the one hand.
Who fell on their face?
Moshe and Aaron.
How do we know it's not the Eda?
It's a good question, except that they've done this before. So it's a common response that Moshe and Aaron have in the Torah. You look in Parshas Baaloscha, you look in Parsha. I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's a dangling modifier. Okay, I'm not a psychologist, but I remember that from grammar school. Okay, dang the modifier. Okay, so anyway, good question, but I think that it's pretty clear that it's Moshe despite everything else. The rest of the pasuk is talking about Moshe and Aaron. Okay, all right, we move on to box number two. Okay, so now this is supposed to be the response to all this. The people don't have water, and so you need to give them water. Okay, maybe Moshe and Aaron have just prayed, and so here's the response to the prayer. Kacha samateh, take the staff. Be'akel esoida. So who are we addressing? The Am? Forget about the Am. The Am, those are riffraff. The Eda, that's the united people. That's who we want to deal with. Atav Aaron achicha, you and your brother Aaron, v'dibartem el hasela le'inihem, and you're going to speak. Again, this is not a class on this Maimariva story. It's a class on the chapter in general, so I'm not going to get into all the subtleties of what the commentaries say about this. V'dibartem el hasela, you're going to speak to the rock, at the rock, to the people at the rock, le'enehem, in front of their eyes, v'nasan me'mav, that it should give its waters, v'yotseso lehem mayim v'nasela v'shkiso seidav v'esbira. You're going to bring out water and you're going to give it to the people. Okay, shine. That's what it's supposed to be. And you're dealing exclusively with the Eda. Clear? Okay, it's in red, so it's clear. V'yikach Moshe es hamatem l'fnei Hashem kasher tzivo. Now, it's hard to see in the maybe your printout came a little better. But if you look back on Pasuk Ches, Kach es hamateh, and on the second line it's El Hasela. You see the Hey? That's called the Hey Hayidia. The Hey Hayidia means the specific, a specific stick and a specific rock. So the idea that Moshe got the wrong rock is not really supported by that Hey Hayidia. So we can reject that one. Okay? Forgive me, Rashi. And as far as the mateh, what's the mateh? What's the staff? So, many say it's Moshe's staff, but Moshe is not told, take your staff, take the staff. What's the staff? The Chizkuni, Kliyakar, Rabbi Barnell, a bunch of people say that it's referring to Aaron's staff. Aaron's staff, the one that had blossomed in last week's Parsha, that had grown the almonds and the flowers, etc. Okay, so that's what it's supposed to be. So Moshe takes the staff just as he was commanded by God. What's the next thing he's supposed to do? Dibartem el hasela le'inihem. Speak to, at the rock, etc., to the eyes of the people, and then bring forth water. So what's the next thing that he's supposed to do? What should be the next thing? Vayidabaru Moshe v'Aaron el ha'eda, or el hasela. I'm sorry, you're right. I apologize. You're correct. Oops. Would you ever have noticed that if I didn't point it out to you?
No.
In red? Not me. It's not about me. It's about the red. Okay? You see, it says, V'yakilu Moshe V'aaron es ha-kahol. They're not supposed to gather the kahol. They're supposed to gather the Eda. This is a problem. Because you're taking people, including this Am, who think that they're holy, and you're talking to them. Okay, because the kahal, remember, who called themselves a kahal? The Am. The Eda never spoke. The Eda, they just gathered to Moshe and Aaron. They're there. Who speaks? The Am. And what do they say? We're a kahal Hashem. We're fighting with you, Moshe, because you took us out of Egypt, which was awesome, and now you brought us to this place, which stinks. But that's, so Moshe is addressing those guys, and that's the first problem. Because he should be addressing the Eda. The people are united, saying, look, there's a problem. Miriam died. There's no water. Okay, we didn't even talk about it. We're here. Help us out. We don't know. El Pnei HaSela. Okay, and El Pnei HaSela. What's supposed to happen at the Sela? There's supposed to be a Dibur. A speaking. By Yomer Lahem, and he says to them, Shimuna HaMorim. Oh, man. What is Moshe thinking here? Say, rock, water, nu, that's it. That's all you have to do. You have to do that. He says, Shimunu Hamorim. You see that word Hamorim? Is that Moshe's way of saying to these people, these ingrates, look at the word Morim. Same letters as Miriam. Okay? Moshe's saying, hey, Morim. Miriam. You guys totally missed the boat here. You're looking at the lack of water. You think God's not going to provide water for you? Miriam, where's your derech eretz? Where's your kavod? Where's your honor? Where's your respect to a great leader through whom there was supposed to be water for all this time? So she dies. You lose water. Okay, that should be a call to realize that there's a flaw. If you don't recognize what you're missing, because all you think about is water, I'm telling you, you're a bunch of fools. You're morim, because you missed out Miriam. Hamin asel azeh. We're going to bring out water for you guys from here. Are you kidding? That's not what happens here. It's not about me or Aaron or Miriam. Do you guys have faith in God? And the answer is, you're a bunch of ingrates. Who's he talking to? Not the Ada. The Ada didn't do anything wrong. It's the Kahal, the people who think that they're special. And so, Vayar Moshe es yado vayachas asel b'mateu pamayim. Okay, now Moshe wasn't told to do that. He wasn't told to pick up to take his hand or to strike the rock with his stick. Pa'amayim, vayitzu mayim rabim vateishto ido b'yiram. So I'm not here to analyze Moshe's sin. Okay, there's a lot that's been written about it. I'm just looking very specifically at the text. Okay, Moshe does this twice. Does he achieve the result to bring out the water? Yes. Okay, and it's not a question of whether he hit the right rock, the wrong rock, whether he was supposed to hit it once and he hit it twice. Pa'amayim, twice does the job. That's what we get from the text. The Netziv, by the way, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, when he looks at this story, his analysis is that what Moshe was supposed to do was gather the people and show them once and for all, because they're going to be going into a land where this is going to happen all the time. Right now, you're in the wilderness. You have water from a rock. But when you get into the land, there isn't going to be water coming from a rock. When you get into the land, there's going to be water coming from rain, right? If you're lucky. And if there's no rain, what do you do? What do they do in Israel now if there's no rain? Okay? They pray. You're supposed to know how to daven to make it that God will provide water. So the Netziv says that's what Moshe missed here. But you have to speak. You have to show them how to use the power of speech to bring out water. Okay, so this is what, you know, I don't want to look at it, oh, so the punishment doesn't fit the crime, or what exactly is the sin is. But there's a missed opportunity here in terms of showing the people what you're supposed to show them for the long term. It's going to happen that there isn't going to be water. And guess what? I'm not going to be around. You need to know how to deal with it. So that's the Netziv's pshat. It's fantastic. And if you can get your hands on it and read it, I highly recommend it. So the last two psukim in box number two, God says to Moshe and to Aaron, Yan lo hemantim bi lahakishani, because you did not have faith in me to sanctify me in front of the people, l'chein lo saviyu es hakahol hazeh el ha'aretz asher nasati lahem. You're not going to bring this kahol, this people who you can't relate to. Is it referring to the Eda? Referring to the Kahal. That's the real problem. That Moshe, and this is the Kliyakar, by the way, the Kliyakar says that Moshe's real problem was that he couldn't relate to the Kahal. If you're a leader of the entire Eda, you need to relate to the entire Eda. If Moshe's only able to relate to the non-Am, the non-Kahal, tongue-in-cheek, Kal Hashem, yeah, right, you're so holy and special. Moshe can't relate to that group. And guess what? You can't lo saviyu. It doesn't say you can't come to the land. It says you can't bring them. You can't bring them. That's the punishment. The punishment is you can't lead this entire nation if you can't relate to this group who aren't born Jews, let's say. The group that joined the Jewish people. The people who, whatever, Erev Rav, however you want to describe them. Maybe others who joined the Jewish people since then. Okay, that's the punishment to Moshe. That you can't bring the kahal. Okay, and I think maybe Hema Mei Meriva, the fact that it's called Mei Meriva is another subtle hint. If you just look at the letters, Mem Yud Mem Resh, that there was a mess up over Miriam. It's the same letters. Asher Rav Bnei Yisrael, Es Hashem Vayikadesh Bam. Whoa! Ever notice those last two words? What is Vayikadesh Bam? He was sanctified. Who was sanctified? God was sanctified. So Moshe and Aaron didn't sanctify, and yet God was sanctified. See, it's not such an easy text to say, what Rashi says, and there you go. It's not so easy. There's a lot more to it. Okay, so just to summarize, we have a number of problems here in terms of what happened with the way people treated Miriam, the way people treated Moshe and Aaron post the death of Miriam, the way that people complained about Egypt having been great and where we are now being not great. One of the points, I think it's also the Kli Yakar who points out, he says that they're complaining about Egypt. Why? Because they want to stay in Kadesh. So I had Kadesh highlighted a number of times. They didn't even want to go into the land. They just wanted to be, again, it's the complainers, the ones who are fighting, who didn't want to go into the land. So there you have that. And of course, in the story itself, Moshe doesn't exactly follow what God says. Okay, he's told, take the staff, gather the people, dibartem el asela, bring, speak at to the rock, etc., le'enehem, to the eyes of the people, v'nasan me'imav, and it should bring its water. That's, and it should bring out water. That's what you're supposed to do. So we saw where Moshe went off of the script. Okay, so now, the fascinating thing is how boxes 3 and 4 show us the correction of all of this. Because it becomes devastating for everybody. The fact that they realize now that on account of everything that's taken place, Moshe and Aaron are not going to get to go into the land. And the fact that they realize, oh my goodness, how could we disrespect Miriam so much? How could we put an emphasis on how great it was in Egypt? The fact of the matter is that Egypt was a terrible experience. It was just a very... not something that you ever want to go back to or repeat. Okay, so that brings us to box number 3. So look what happens. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim. Moshe sends messengers Mikadesh El Melech Adom to the king of Edom. Komar Achicha Yisrael. Says, look who we are. We are your brothers. Okay, remember, it's Esav. We're your cousins. And showing respect to them. And look at what they say. These are the messengers. I tell you that do you know that everything happened to us? But you do have a saying of Mitzrayim. Our ancestors went to Egypt, Vanesha Mitzrayim, Yamim Rabim. We were in Egypt for a very long time. Okay? Egypt was bad to us and to our ancestors. Vanitzakel Hashem, Vayishma Kolenu, Vayishlach Malach, Vayotzienim Mitzrayim. So here they're saying that God sent a Malach. A Malach means either an angel or a messenger, meaning Moshe, who took us out of Egypt. Now, there's the point which is highlighted in light blue over there is something which the Kli Yakar goes into when it comes to, I think it's the episode of the Golden Calf. He makes this distinction between Ha'ala, bringing up, and Hotza'ah, taking out. Taking out is what God did, whereas Ha'ala is what Moshe did. I'm not going to get into that more detail. Just wanted to point out that difference to you, to show you what the way the Torah sometimes depicts leaving Egypt. But anyway, you see here in Pasuk Tezayin, which is highlighted in gray, the opposite of what we saw in Pasuk Dalet, which was also highlighted in gray. That here they're saying that leaving Egypt was amazing. And as opposed to what they said in Pasuk Dalet, which was that coming to the wilderness from Egypt was terrible. Okay, so now leaving Egypt was good. Look at what they focus on here. So first of all, they mentioned water first. Okay, we're going to cross through your land. We're not going to cross through any fields, vineyards. We're not going to drink from your wells. Derech HaMelech Nelech. We're going to go on the king's road. Lo Nitei Yemeinu Smol Rasher Nabor Gulecha. What were they complaining about before in the pink, in Pasuk Hey? Zera, Teina, seeds, and figs, and grapes, and pomegranates, and where's the water? Here they're saying, they don't even mention any other food. They say, we're not even going to take your water. Which is a basic staple, more than anything else. See how the priorities change? We don't even need that. We're not complaining about the lack of. We don't even want the water. Okay, Nabrona. I hear what you're saying. You're right. This is a message from Moshe. But we don't see Moshe telling them what to say. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. It doesn't say Lemor, telling them what to say. He sends them. You guys are emissaries. You're going to speak your own words. You're going to give a message. So, you're right, but maybe I'm right too. That maybe Moshe didn't give them a text. Okay? How many times did they respond? You cannot go through here. I may come out against you with a sword. That's the first time. B'nei Yisrael, they respond. They say, nope, I'm not taking anything. Not even water. Vayomer pasukha, vayomer lo sa'avor. They say, you're not going to pass through our land. Vayitzei adam l'kraso ba'am kaveh v'yad chazakah. A second time. You'd think after the first time they would get the message, right? But what do we learn from Moshe when he hit the rock twice? Sometimes you got to do it twice to accomplish your goal. And that's why the pasuk is, the that follows, is Vayima Ein Edom, Edom refused, Nasonis Yisrael Avor Begulo, Vayet Yisrael Me'alav. Since Edom refused, Israel subsided, they went a different direction. Notice how there's no purple parallel in box number one. What should have happened was, Moshe said, stop complaining, and Yisrael should go away, and just wait for the water to return. They didn't do that, but they learned the lesson, and that's why it happens over here. Okay, box number three is a correction to the first complaint. Next, box number four. So again, it's the Eda who gets to Hor HaHor because they're united again. They've had this Edom episode to help them come together and realize what priorities are. And Vayomer Hashem Moshe el Aaron b'Hor HaHor el Gur Eretz Edom Limor Yasef Aaron Alamav. Aaron's going to die at Hor HaHor. Ki lo yavo el Aretz Asher Nesati Livnei Yisrael. He's not going to come into the land. Now, this is the first time we hear that Aaron's not going to get to come into the land. The idea that Moshe isn't going to get to come into the land is actually spelled out in many commentaries and Midrashim way before this. Lo Saviyu means you're not going to bring. Lo Saviyu means you will not bring, you will not lead. Here it says Lo Yavo, he's not going to come. It's a subtle difference, but it's a significant difference. Lehavi and Lavo are not the same thing. Lavo means to come, Lehavi means to bring. Okay? So this is the first time that we hear that. This is a change. But it seems to be a change, because Aaron was told before, you're not going to bring the people. But was Aaron really a leader in that way who was bringing? No. Aaron wasn't the leader in the way, in other words, Aaron wasn't Moshe, he was a Kohen Gadol. It's a different role. But now he's being told he's not going to get to come to the land, which is new to us. But what's the reason given? Alasher marisem es pi l'mei meriva. Because you rebelled against my mouth at mei meriva. That's funny, he didn't say that at all. In box number two, it says, and you look at the part which is in that similar reddish color, Yan lo emantim bilakisheni. You didn't have faith in me to sanctify me. Where is this Marisem es pi l'mei meriva? Where does that come from? Okay, now Marisem sounds like the word morim, which is, that's the Rambam's approach. He says that the fact that they called them rebels is a problem. Okay, we're not going to get into that now. But the idea of Maris MSP gives us a little bit of an indication of the approach, which is the Abravanel's approach, who says that what Moshe and Aaron did wrong is not here at all. This is just a cover for their real problems. Aaron's being the sin of the golden calf, and Moshe's being the sin of the spies. Not going to get into that now, but if that is the case, then the idea of Maris MSP, you rebelled against my word at the golden calf, if it's referring to that, again, with the main Meriva being a cover for it, so that we can understand what this explanation actually means. Now let's take a look. What's Moshe told? Kachas Aharon, V'esel Azor, B'nova, Halo, Sam, Hor, Hor. Kachas Aharon. What had Moshe been told previously? Kachas Hamateh. So we saw last time when Moshe was given specific instructions that the only part that he did like God had said was taking the Mateh. That was it. Everything else, he gathered the people, yes. But the only thing that said Kasher Tzivahu, that he did as God had commanded, was after the taking of the stick. Then, Ashedes Aaron is Begadav, Ashtem is Elazar, right? You're going to have Aaron take off his clothes, you're going to put them on Elazar, Aaron's going to die. Pasuch of Zayin, Vayas Moshe Kasher Tzivah Hashem. Moshe did like all that Hashem had commanded. Notice how this blue underlined highlight is not in the box number two, because there it doesn't say in the same way that Moshe did everything that he was supposed to do. Remember, he had been told to do all that stuff le'enehem in pasuk ches. Did he do everything le'enehem to their eyes? No, but here he's doing everything le'enei kol ha'ida, transparency. Everybody should know. Everybody should see. And there is, another correction to something that was missing in box number two. And what did he do? I have shaped Moshe as Aaron as Begadav, Elisha Samus Elazar. But no, it's the exact language of Pasuk Chavav. They took off Aaron's clothes, they put him on Elazar, Vayomas Aaron Sham, Barosh Ahor. He died there as he was supposed to, Vayered Moshe Elazar Minahar, And then Moshe and Elazar came down. And said, what's the last correction that we need to see? Everybody saw that Aaron dies. And again, who's seeing it? Kol Ha'eda. I should have highlighted that in red. Vayivku es Aaron Shloshim Yom Kol Beis Yisrael. So what they didn't do for Miriam, they now realize that they have to do for Aaron. Would they have done it for Aaron anyway? I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. We only, I think, I'm convinced that the reason why it's so clear that they do it here is because of the mess up where they didn't do that in box number one, in the first part of the chapter. Okay, so I just want to bring this all to a few conclusions. Okay, so that's in a shir on the subject of that sin, I would tell you that. Why did he need the mateh? So especially if it's Aaron's staff, I'll just give you a 10-second answer. Aaron's staff was supposed to be a mishmeres la'os levnei Mary, a sign for the people who are complaining. Okay? The point is, see this? Don't complain. That's what, it's a reminder. The Kliyakar actually has one more. He says that the mateh is a piece of wood, which in order for it to grow anything, it had to develop moisture inside of it. So here's a dead piece of wood, which brings out water. And what they were supposed to do is show the stick to the rock and say, dead piece of wood brings out water, you're a rock. You're also dead, you bring out water. So that's another possibility. And he proves it, he has a proof. He says, Selah and Eitz is the same gematria. You can figure that one out.
Not Moshe.
Anyway. Okay, I don't want to get bogged down. I know my time is limited, so I just want to finish with a few points and then open the floor to questions. Unless anybody has any questions about this now, about this whole analysis. Anybody? I'm going to get what I'm done. Thank you. Okay, all right. So here we go. Conclusion number one, and I think we all know this one, but mourning is absolutely necessary, and it's not something. Thank you. And it's not something which can be sidestepped, certainly not from the perspective of the mourners, and even more so, not from the perspective of the comforters. A friend of mine who actually grew up conservative, his mother I think grew up Reform, and his father grew up Orthodox. So when they got married, they said, "We'll compromise." So they raised him conservative. Okay, anyway, but his mother, unfortunately, when he was about 23, his mother died from cancer. She was 45. I mean, it was a terrible tragedy. And she died Erev Yom Kippur, I think it was, or the day before Erev Yom Kippur. And I remember him telling me, he said, I'm so mad at the rabbis, because Yom Kippur came, they took away my shiva. Sukkot came, they took away my shloshim. They didn't allow me to mourn. So don't be mad at the rabbis, they're just following the rules. But the point is that he needed it. And one of the points that I make, there's a big debate as to whether Shiva is kavod achayim, honor for the living, or kavod ames, honor for the dead. And it's something which we all need a little bit of chizuk in, to remember that when we go to a Shiva visit, we're supposed to be focusing on the mace, on the person who died, because the mourner needs it. And sometimes the mourner doesn't realize that they need it. But if we know, especially if we knew the person who passed away, to talk about that person. Or, as somebody in my community said to me, one of the best things, that the greatest lesson that he learned at one point from some rabbi, when he would do a Shiva visit, and he appreciated this even more so after his mother passed away, he said, you go into a Shiva house and you say, what can you tell me about your mother? Or about the deceased? And you put it on the mourner. They want to talk about something else, that's their problem. But always try to bring it back. And that's a very important lesson. What does it mean to be a collective unit? So I one of the points that has been emphasized a lot is the idea of the Eda. Right? An Eda is unified in whatever way that they're unified. The Meraglim were an Eda, they were unified for a bad thing. But the Eda that we have is a collective group of different people with different viewpoints, but nonetheless we find common ground. I find this is especially true when it comes to the way people view politics. I'm not talking about politics today, but there are some people who are very right-leaning, some people are very left-leaning. And when it comes to discussions about this, especially today, I mean, I'm sure many of you could speak, when I say in my lifetime, some of you might snicker. Okay, but but I'm sure that even maybe in the lifetime of many people here, it's worse than it's ever been. I think, I don't know. But what unites us, I have some very left-wingers in my shul and some very right-wingers in my shul. But you know what? We all daven together. And we all answer to each other's kaddish. And we all can make a zimun together. And that is the beauty of the Jewish life that we live, that there are things which are above and beyond. You can think, one of the examples I once gave in shul was, you can think whatever you want politically about abortion, but the bottom line is that at the end of the day, every person in this room is going to say, what does Allah have to say about it? Okay? And that is a very unique distinction that we have. There's much more merit to a positive outlook and productive aim solutions rather than complaining. You see the difference between the way that people come to Moshe and Aaron and say, Egypt was awesome, where we are now stinks, versus saying to the people in Edom, and they didn't get what they wanted, but that's okay. But it's the perspective that they share, that they say, Egypt was awful. We're trying to get to the promised land. Will you help us? Edom's answer was no, and that's okay. They're entitled to say you don't get to go through our land. But from our perspective, we look at the speech in the gray and in the pink, and in box number one, and we say, okay, what's going on here? Can you be a little more positive? And then we look at it in the gray and the pink in section three, and we say, oh, okay, they didn't get what they want, but at least they're just so much more pleasant. And that is a major difference between having a positive outlook and trying to at least come to a real productive solution rather than just being a complainer. Okay, just on the note of the question of the mateh before, sometimes a reminder should do the trick. If Moshe was supposed to bring out the mateh and show it to the people, they should get it. That should work, whether it's a visual, Aaron stick, whether it's a statement. That's the Kliyukr's lesson of the stick being shown to the rock so the rock would get it and it also produce water, or modeling. Remember the Netziv's idea of demonstrating how tefillah can be the antidote to the lack of water. That should work. People should be able to say, oh, that's the message, I got it. Thank you, I learned it, and if all I needed was a reminder, that should be it. They learn it in 3 and 4 after all the tragedy, but hopefully we shouldn't have to wait for the tragedy in order to learn that lesson. And I think that in the end, after all of this, we can have we need to look at a reanalyzation of the story of Moshe and the rock and the story of Miriam and the aftermath of her death, to ask ourselves, what does it mean to live in a life where there's reward and punishment? Okay, what does reward and punishment mean? What does it mean that something happens and there's a cause and effect? How do we accept that the things that happened to Moshe and Aaron are direct impact or a direct result of everything that took place here? What happened to the Bnei Israel is because of whatever took place here. Hey, the way of God's world, to my understanding, is what's called Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure. And the way that I sometimes couch it is, if you don't see the measure for measure, then you're not really understanding what's going on here. And so we have to ask ourselves, what's the measure for measure here? So I hope that I've given you a little bit of food for thought, so that kind of question could be answered in a better way. And hopefully, with all that we've heard today, we can take the lessons that we need for the different aspects of our lives where it has an impact. Thank you very much.